Hello and welcome. Glory to God, for He is good, and His love endureth forever. And we do daily devotion each and every day because we know God is able to transform our life for the better and bring our life into His intimate will, intimate love that He has for us. So praise the Lord for each new day as we read the Word of God, which is alive and powerful, and it does not let us down, and it is the truth. And it is the thing that sets us free from the bondage of sin and allows us to understand who Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, is. Amen. So welcome, everyone. We're so glad you're here this morning. Today is July the 3rd, and it is 6:09 a.m. over here. We're so glad that God is working, and He is never letting us down. And the Word of God is so important to read and study each and every day because we want a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And a relationship takes time, takes energy. Relationships takes effort in order to form. And so you must take your part of the relationship in order to have that intimacy with God. And then for His promises to come to life. Amen. Amen. Woo. The hand is free. So this baby. Yeah. Glory to God. There you go. Thank you, guys. You've been awake all day? Well, hello, Scott. Faithful Journey, I remember you. Welcome, welcome. Welcome, The Rock. Welcome, everyone. Lily, I'm so glad you guys are here. And Ken, I see you too. Christian, I'm subscribed. Welcome, glory to God. Richmond. Alright, let's get started because we know a lot of people are hungry for the Word of God. And the Word of God is so good, sweet like honey, powerful, so powerful, and alive. And today we're looking into the responses to famine. And famine is when there is hunger in the land. Famine is when there is little crops because of a drought. Because there's no production of vegetations. And because of that, people are hungry. People are fighting over food. People are not knowing where their next meal was going to come. And so, during this famine, we're looking into Elisha and the way Elisha operates. Actually, let me see. Today is Wednesday. It is Wednesday. Yeah. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24 to chapter 7, verse 2. And do I trust God? Yes, I trust God with all my heart. Hello, Liam. Christian. Now, I don't know Indonesian, but Jakarta, I know. Let me read it. Listen to the end because we know that this is going to help a lot of people. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. And there was a great famine in the city. And the siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver. And a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. And as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, "Help me, my lord, my king." And the king replied, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I help for you? Where can I get help for you? For the threshing floor? From the wine press?" And then he asked her, "What's the matter?" And she answered, This woman said to me, Give up your son so that we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son. So we cooked my son and ate him. And the next day I said to her, Give up your son so we may eat him. But she had hidden him. And when the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes and he went along the wall. And the people looked, and there underneath he had a sackcloth on his body. And he said, May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today. Now Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him, and the king sent a messenger ahead. But before he arrived, Elisha said to the elders, Don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it shut against him. Is it not the sound of his master's footsteps behind him? And while he was talking, still talking to them, the messenger came down to him. And the king said, This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Chapter 7, verse 1. Elisha said, Hear the word of God. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, and two seah of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elisha, but you will not eat of any of it. Wow. So, looking into 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24, we can see the power of God being unleashed here, where Elisha says that the things of the that are selling so expensive because of the famine, it will drop drastically. The price will drop, like corn will drop from $1 to 50 cents. It's just that good. And so as we look at this passage, we can reflect on how God was working miracles. He was working to deliver his people. His power was so great that it was over, bigger than the famine that was occurring over there. And during this time, the Syrian blockade and its effect was a picture of utter hopelessness and depravity. The Syrian army was starving them, and so much that food became scarce. And the first effect was famine, starvation, and the greed of inflated prices. And we can see how things on earth is becoming more and more expensive. So expensive that we cannot afford the things that we could have afforded years ago. Now, gas is $5, $6, even $7 instead of 20 years ago, it was 75 cents. 75 cents. Wow. And so a donkey's head costed about 2 pounds of silver. A cup of dove dung costed 2 ounces of silver. And now the baby right now drinks 2 ounces every 2 hours. Maybe 3 ounces. But I can only imagine 2 ounces of silver is actually quite costly and expensive. And then the second effect was the worst atrocity, depravity imaginable. There was murder, cannibalism, and the woman cried out to the king of Israel for help. And the king became very frustrated. He responded bitterly, If the Lord did not help her, then how could he be? How could he be true? And so the king softened and asked how he could help her. And the woman asked and shared a dilemma, a case of cannibalism. She said that another woman had agreed to kill and eat their sons, and she and another woman agreed to kill and eat their sons, and so she killed her son and cooked her son first, but the other woman now is hiding and refusing to give up her own son. And the king was horrified. Hello, Mason. Good morning. And he tore his robe in this act of anguish and despair. And the torn robe exposes the fact that he was wearing sackcloth as a sign of grief. And this third effect was the terrible sin of blaming God's prophet, Elisha, and even God himself for the terrible effect. And the king swore to execute Elisha that very day. And he apparently was unaware that Elisha was home attending a meeting with leaders. And he sent an executioner to kill Elisha. And the plot was revealed to Elisha by God, and he instructed the leaders to lock the door, for the king would soon follow right behind to stop the assassination attempt. Wow. And then the fourth effect was utter hopelessness. And the assassin, the king, soon arrived, and the king, in despair, asked Elisha, "Why should I not surrender?" And this blockage of the Syrian army brought so much hunger, cannibalism, so much pain to the people of the Israelites in the Syrian kingdom and the northern kingdom. And the blockade's end promised by God was a message of deliverance and hope. How God brings hope to our life. He delivers from hunger, from famine, from the dark times. He delivers us from the dark times and delivers us into somewhere that's better. In Elisha, his siege on the king's hopelessness, he was able to understand how the king was in despair and shared of God's word. The blockade would come to an end the next day, and food would once again be plentiful. And the king's chef official ridiculed God's promise and doubted and spoke sarcastically about it and made fun of Elisha. And Elisha made a prediction about the chief official that he would not see, not share in the promise, but he would see the promise, but not share in the promise. Hello, welcome. Wow. So we can see how the Aram, the Syrian king, was laying siege to Samaria. How they were experiencing hunger because they were surrounded by the army and they were not able to gain food from neighboring countries or counties. And so there was actually an inflation. Things were expensive. People could not afford the things. And now I'm thinking about our own age, our own world today, how things are so expensive and getting more expensive in the future. How are we to respond? We're to respond as Elisha responded, in trusting God, in going to God first, in allowing Him to build our life up, because it is Him that allows us to have our daily bread, to have our daily necessities. So there's two things that you can learn from here. In reflection. And reflections are so helpful for you and me. So let's listen carefully to these reflections. And the first one is choosing to blame. And the second one is the belief for drastic changes. So, good morning. Now, choosing to blame. There was a conflict between Aram and Israel that arises again. They seemingly stopped with their conflict in the previous passage, but then that conflict arose again, and Aram surrounds Samaria and prevents resources from going into the city. Now, this is a very, very smart military tactic to starve out your enemy so that they would not have food, so that food would become so scarce, so that people would pay anything to eat, to drink, to survive. They even resorted to cannibalism. And so the king is grieved. But instead of taking personal responsibility as the leader of the nation, he chooses to blame Elisha, the man of God, for all the city's trouble. And a common reaction when facing crisis is to look for someone to blame, because it's so much easier than facing the truth that there is no simple solution. This day and age, we are actually resorting to blaming our government, blaming our state, blaming social welfare, blaming the world. We're so used to blaming others and not taking responsibility for ourselves. If you truly want to grow in your life, you absolutely must take responsibility for the problem. Because if you don't take responsibility, then it's just going to happen over and over again. It's going to be out of your control. So take responsibility for your own problems. Don't act as a victim. Don't act as someone who is paying for the situation, the problem that you caused. Instead, you have to take responsibility for it and know that that situation is only temporary, that God can come through and bring you into a better place. God can come through and bring you out of the dark moments, out of the dead ends, out of the toxic relationship, and bring you into a community that is filled with His love, filled with His joy and hope. Let us not blame God. It's so easy to blame God and turn against God and say, I cannot believe it. God is the one that is responsible for all this. But no. In this case, famine. The king was blaming God, was blaming Elisha. But we can see how it was Aram and Israel having conflict. And because of the conflict, they were surrounded. And because of the surrounding armies that prevented them to have food, they were experiencing inflation, experiencing pain and cannibalism. And that started from the top. Started from having no peace with your neighboring countries. No peace with the Syrian army or Syrian king. If they had that peace, then none of this would have happened in the first place. But instead, he turned to Elisha and said, it's Elisha's fault. If I kill Elisha, then the problem would be eradicated. But that is far from the truth. The famine would not go away. The armies would not go away. The hunger would not go away. The cannibalism would not go away. The problem would still be there when you blame other people. And so, think about the problems that are in your life. And it's too easy to blame others who are near you, close to you. And when they blame you, it's easier to blame them back. And the longer you live with them, the more easy it's to blame each other. And it gets ingrained into your system to just keep blaming each other. Even blaming God. But maybe today's the day God is teaching us to take ownership of our own responsibilities, of our own reaction to the situations. Take responsibility for our own actions, our own thoughts, our own words. Take responsibilities for us being our own sin. Now, the good news is that you don't have to face this alone, because we have a God who is greater, God who is stronger, a God who sets us free from the darkness of sin, the God who wants to walk alongside us and free us. Well, and be with us as we tackle these responsibilities, as we take responsibilities for our own actions and reactions. God is with us to the very end. And so that's why we have to approach God with prayer, with a fervent heart, knowing that we are lost without Him. Are you real? Yes, I'm real. Thank you, Ben Elliott. I can even pin you. Is the baby real? Yes, the baby's real too. And it's good that you love God, David. It's good that you guys are here. Michelle, hallelujah, God is good. So you have a choice in your life: to blame others or to take responsibility for it. Now, I made mistakes. I've said wrong things. I reacted incorrectly. And then I must repent and acknowledge that, hey, what I did was wrong. I should not have even talked about it. I should not have thrown a fit over it. I should not have made a big deal over something so small, so trivial, that waste another hour of my time, another hour of rest. I should just let it be and say, it is what it is. Not give such attention to when things are not going as expected. What will be, will be. It is what it is. Not be bothered by it. But I was bothered. Normally, I'm not bothered. Normally, I don't care. Normally, everything's just good. I can just live by faith. But I don't know what's going on. Maybe because of lack of sleep. Maybe because I only slept 1.5 hours the day before. And then today, I slept for 3 hours, 16 minutes. It's not easy. But that's because we all love baby Penn. And we want to care for him, help him grow optimally, and let him be able to grow healthy, grow strong. So I don't want to blame God. I don't want to blame my wife. I don't want to blame anyone, not my in-laws either. So in the future, I need to suck it up. Take it in. Be patient, just like the mother-in-law says. And to love as God loves. Be patient as God is patient. You know, I cannot do this on my own power. I cannot. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to take responsibility, to be more responsible over the next few months that my in-laws are here, that we have this baby newborn. And so someone said, before long, the baby will be able to sleep through the night. Glory to God. Amen. But right now, the baby is it 10 days old? 10 days? Anyways, 10 or 11 days old, on the second week, and sleeps every 2-3 hours, eating every 2-3 hours. Why the panda? My name is Pastor Josh Pan. And so, panda. This was given to me by one of my youth. She's going to sixth grade next year. And she thought the panda was cute. And so, it's very cute. It is very cute. So we have it here. Yeah. So many people have what you have. But God blessed us differently, each one of us differently. Amen. So how am I? I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you. Show the baby right here. Sleeping. We praise God. So we choose to take responsibility instead of blaming. We don't blame. Dear Lord, I pray that you give me a sound mind, sound heart. When we're all tired, it's so easy to blame, especially sleep deprived. But Lord, I pray that you allow me to continue taking responsibility, being patient. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Let little Pan sleep, yes. Little Pan, baby Pan. Number two, it's a belief for drastic change. Now the king believes that the disaster, the famine the nation faces must be from God. And he despairs that God would intervene and change the situation for the good of his people. And Elisha, he tells that king in a single day that the situation would be changed. The finest food will be available at the cheapest prices. And somehow, we allow our impatience to affect our trust in God. And we forget that he has the power to drastically change our situation in one day. And your continual belief in his goodness should not change based on your circumstances. And may you remain steadfast in your faith, in your prayers, knowing that he can intervene in the most powerful ways at the perfect times. Wow. Change can happen overnight. Drastically change. You see, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. For God, nothing is impossible. What is impossible for man is possible for God. And that's why we can recognize how we're so limited, so small. Yet, God is unlimited. God is bigger. God is the creator. And so he's able to drastically change so many things that's happening. Whether it's right now, we can see war going on overseas between Ukraine and Russia, Israel, Palestine, China, Taiwan. How there's war, invasion in the United States of America. People invading in droves. We can see how there's so much ruin and destruction. And how it's operated all by design, by greed of man. These proxy wars are so that people can profit off of it. People can become rich. It's crazy how these situations are out of our control. But what's not out of your control is the way you react, the way you respond, the way you have an attitude towards the situation. You have an opportunity to respond by saying, Lord, I know you are in control. I know you're over it all, bigger than it all, and that you're able to change everything overnight. Lord God, I love you because you're a God who despises war. You're the God who longs for us to live for you, to live in unity, in peace, in love, in joy. Too many people are turning to the world, to the universe, to the evil things. And they're lost. We need to bring Jesus back into our life each and every day. To bring Jesus back into our school system, just like Oklahoma and Louisiana. We need to bring Jesus back into our state, into our country, into our world, because Jesus is the one that mends all things and holds all things together. Without Jesus, all things fall apart. Without Jesus, we are lost and broken. Without Jesus, the nation is headed towards this ruin and destruction. So bring Jesus back into our life, into our house, into our family. Bring Jesus back into our country, this country founded upon Christian biblical principles. When it was taken out, it was headed towards despair, ruin, disaster. But when you bring Jesus, when it is founded upon principles of Jesus, then there's success and prosperity. Do you believe in drastic changes? Do you believe that only Jesus can satisfy? The world cannot satisfy. Jesus satisfies us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is able to change an addict into someone who's sober, someone in darkness into light, someone who's lost, he can find them, someone who is in pain, he can take that pain away. So we bring Jesus back. We thank Jesus for the opportunity to love him, to care for him, to walk in his ways. Thank Jesus for that. Whew. God is good. Amen. And you're forgiven when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're forgiven because he loves you, cares for you. Be steadfast in your faith, in your prayers. Pray continually. Rejoice always. And give thanks in all circumstances. For we know God can intervene in your life in powerful ways at the perfect time. Amen. He can intervene for our country. He can intervene for our state. He can intervene . So looking at this, we can see the Syrian blockade against the Samaria, the king, capital city of the king of Israel, or the kingdom of Israel, which is a lesson on God's powerful ways and power to deliver his people. Have you ever felt helpless, unable to handle a situation? Something happened that aroused within you an overwhelming sense of despair, grief, and desperation. And in the face of this overwhelming circumstance, you felt unable to cope or deal with the problem. Many people go through this gripping or paralyzing moment, experiencing extreme emotional upheaval, feeling that things are completely out of control, that they can do nothing. Their life is over. But there's a wonderful news for you all who face this intense hopelessness and helplessness. No matter what happens to you, God still loves you. God cares for you and wants to help you. And there's even a verse in the scripture that says, cast all your anxieties. All your anxieties, not just some, but all your anxieties on Him who cares for you, who loves you. And that's from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And when things are beyond our control, even death itself, God will infuse power in you, enough power to conquer and overcome whatever confronts you. Thanks, Sam. Thank you. I was wondering if someone likes my accent. Very different. But we give glory to God. Give glory to God for it. Some people understand it and others don't. And I think I like Singaporean accent. I really do. Relates with me. But anyways, let's continue on forward. And this is the good news of the wonderful scripture, the Bible, the Word of God. In a dramatic fashion, it shows how the good news of God's deliverance must be proclaimed to the masses, to everyone whose hearts are gripped with despair and depression. And this passage paints one of the greatest and most powerful pictures of evangelism and mission in all scripture. It's a passage which we should teach and preach in all the world. And this is the Syrian blockade against the Samaria, which was miraculously broken. A lesson on God's power to deliver His people. And the Syrian blockade and its effect. A picture of utter hopelessness and depravity. And the blockade end is promised by God, a message of hope and deliverance. And tomorrow, we'll go through how the blockade miraculously ended by God, the power of God to deliver His people, and how the blockade ends shared by four lepers, a picture of sharing the good news with the starving masses spiritually. He said, my parents met in Singapore University. That is so cool. Love your accent. It is perfect. I think Singapore is perfect for me too. But it's one that's very, very expensive. But maybe one day if God wills it, we can all go there. But glory to God. I did not know. So Singapore. But I'm living in California, United States of America right now. So I love it here as well. So we give glory to God. Your baby loves you. Hey, baby Noah. Looking forward to meet you guys. But yeah, God loves you. Amen. So then, previously, we saw how God was able to end the war between the Israelites and the Syrian army by showing hospitality towards them. But then sometime later, Syria once again invaded the northern kingdom and set up a siege or blockade around Samaria itself, the capital. No longer was the Syrian king Ben-Hadad interested in just raiding the borders town of Israel. He wanted to conquer the entire nation of the northern kingdom, mobilizing his entire army, or some of his army. He marched up to Samaria and laid siege to, or blockage, to the capital. and the effects of the siege upon the Samaritans were catastrophic, was hard. And this is a picture of utter hopelessness and depravity. Wow. Let's put this here. Glory to God. There was famine, starvation, greed, and inflated prices. There was depravity like murder and cannibalism. There was the sin of blaming God and his prophets and his people. And there was utter hopelessness. People were in despair. People in difficult times. And so they had no way out. And the first effect of siege was starvation. And famine swept through the city so terrible that the most revolting garbage was being sold at a black market price, like the head of a donkey for 2 pounds of silver, for a cup of dove dung, which costed 2 ounces of silver. To think that people would be starving to the point that they would consume animal waste is repulsive. Nevertheless, Scripture does report such instances, and few experiences show the tragedy and repulsiveness of war as that of starvation, often by innocent citizens of the nation. Hey, welcome. And you can only imagine right now, there's war going on overseas, and people who are eating the things that they're not supposed to be eating just to survive. People murdering, people committing crime. It's painful. It's not good. It's sad. And so, the second effect of the blockade was the worst atrocity, depravity imaginable, that of murder and cannibalism. And one day, as the king was walking on the wall of the city, inspecting his troops and assessing the critical situation facing the capital, a woman cried out to him for help. And frustrated at the severity of the circumstance, the king responded bitterly to the woman, "If the Lord did not help her, how could he not help anyone? He had no power to grow crops for bread or grapes for wine, does he not? But we know that our God has the power to do so." So he blurted out his accusations against God. And the king's emotions ran wild and calmed down later on when he talked to the woman, seeing how he could help her. And shockingly, the woman did not tell him, the king, how he can help her. Instead, she told her of the dilemma, the case of cannibalism that shook the king. And she and another woman agreed to kill their sons and eat their sons. And she agreed to kill and cook her son first. But the other woman is now hiding her son, refusing to give him up. "No way would I give up my son for cannibalism, for food, no way." And so in this case, we can see the hopelessness of the woman, of people during that time. How they gave up their own son in order to survive on their own accord. And utterly horrified, the king, he took his robes and he tore them in total anguish and despair. And the torn robes exposed the fact that he was wearing sackcloth underneath as a sign of grief, probably in an attempt to gain God's favor. And then, the third effect of the blockade was a terrible sinning of blaming God and his prophet Elisha. And responding to the woman, the king, he blamed God. He didn't take responsibility for himself, for his own action, responsibility for not having peace with the neighboring countries, with the Syrian armies. And now he swore to execute Elisha that very day, either because he felt Elisha had been encouraging people to trust God and hold out grudge against the siege, or because the prophet's prayers for the siege to be broken are not being answered, or knowing that the Syrians have attempted to capture and execute Elisha earlier, and perhaps the king felt if he executed and turned the body of Elisha over to the Syrians, they might withdraw and return to Damascus. And whatever the case, King Jehoram swore to execute Elisha the very same day. And apparently, he was unaware at that very moment, Elisha was attending a meeting with the elders discussing this critical situation. And following through with his plans, the king sent an executioner to assassinate Elisha. But the plot was revealed to the prophet by God, and consequently, Elisha instructed the leaders to lock the door and not harm the assassin, for the king himself would soon follow right behind in order to stop the assassination attempt. So the fourth effect of the siege was utter hopelessness. And while Elisha was talking, before the leaders could even lock the door, the assassin bursted through the door, not knowing that the leaders were present with the prophet. But because of their presence, he is unable to kill Elisha. And soon thereafter, the king arrived. In utter despair, he asked Elisha why he could not go and surrender to the Syrians. Why should he wait any longer for the Lord's deliverance? And so the people, what can you learn from this? What can you learn from this situation? The people of Samaria, they have forsaken God. They have turned against God, turned away from him and denied him, and said no to the God who rescued them out of the bondage of Egypt. And as a result, they had sunk into the depths of depravity and corruption, and were gripped by the sense of hopelessness and despair. And so it is with you. If you reject and deny God, you can too fall into utter helplessness, hopelessness, and despair, sinking into the depths of depravity, corruption. For if there is no God, the Ten Commandments are not really His word. They are merely irrelevant laws of an ancient society that do not have to be obeyed. In fact, without God, there are no moral absolutes, no morality that we truly have to follow, except the laws that society might feel are essential for us to live together in peace. And if there is no God, there's no future life beyond this life. No heaven, no judgment where perfect justice will be executed by God. And if there's no God, there's no heaven, no hell. And you can live as you want, and doing what you want, when you want, just as you want. And in reality, this is the way many people are living all over the world. So they say, YOLO, you only live once. They say, follow your heart, instead of saying, follow God's heart. They say, do as you will, instead of saying, not my will, but yours, Heavenly Father, be done. And this is the reason for lawlessness, murder, rape, war, assault. Deep down within, great number of people simply do not believe that God exists or that He would hold them accountable in the day of judgment. And for this reason, they live as they wish, selfishly, in their own desires. And consequently, when a severe crisis arises that is beyond their control, The spirit of hopelessness, helplessness grips their hearts and lives, for they have no hope beyond this world, beyond this life. They have no hope of life after the earth pilgrimage. And thus, if the crisis becomes severe enough, many will sink to the depths of depravity and corruption. You see, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all are sinners. And sin, the wages of sin, is death. It's that eternal separation from God. It's that eternal, everlasting ruin and destruction. Pain, sickness. And that is the ultimate depravity. When you live a life without God. Because He created you to have an intimate relationship with Him. And so what God did in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son, whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Amen. So this scripture really tells time and time again of the hopelessness that grips the heart of many people. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, it says, remember that you were at a time without Christ, being aliens of the commonwealth, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers of the covenant of promises, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Jesus Christ, you, who sometime were far off, is now made right by the blood of Christ, is now made near by the blood of Christ. Wow, this is powerful. Powerful. It's telling us, Paul is writing a letter to Ephesus and to all the other people, believers. And he said, there was once you had no Christ. You had no Savior. You had no Messiah. You were aliens from the commonwealth, from the promises of Israel that was from God. You were strangers from the covenant of promise. The covenant, which covenant means to cut unto blood, to make a deal, a contract that is blood binding, a promise, having no hope. You had no hope and without God in the world. You were once long gone, far away. But the good news is, it says, but, which means there's a good news. But now in Jesus Christ, who you formerly were far off, have been brought near to the by the blood of Christ. Because He shed His blood for you, now you've been brought near to Him. Now you are not aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, to the wealth, money, resources, power of Israel, to God. You are no longer strangers to the covenant of promises that God has given. Now you have hope. Now you have God in this world. Amen. Job chapter 7 verse 6 says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and come to an end without hope. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 25 says, keep your feet from being unshod, and keep your throat from thirst. But you said, it is hopeless. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them I will walk. He'll walk with you. He will love you. He cares for you. He died for you. And you have to accept the gift of salvation in your life. Not just tomorrow. Not just in a week or month. You have to accept Him today. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Lamentation chapter 1 verse 21 says, "And they have heard that I groan, and there is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my calamity, and they are glad that you have done it. Oh, you would have bring that day which you proclaimed, and that they may come, become like me." Lamentation chapter 3 verse 18 says, "And I say, my strength will perish, my strength will go away, and my hope, and so has my hope from the Lord." So this scripture paints the picture of utter hopelessness that grips the heart of so many people. It also paints the picture of hearts being gripped by utter depravity and corruption. Wow. The end of the Syrian blockade was a promise by God through His prophet Elisha. And remember, the utter despair and hopelessness of King Jeroboam, that he asked Elisha, why? Why should he not go ahead and surrender to the Syrian armies? Why should he wait any longer for God to deliver them? Hearing the king expresses on his hopelessness and helplessness, Elisha seized the opportunity to share the word of God and the wonderful promises of God. And Elisha immediately announced that the blockade would end on the very next day, the food would be plentiful, and that the very idea of the siege would come to an end, and food would be plentiful within one day, which was incomprehensible, unbelievable. And the king's chief official blurted out his unbelief. He ridiculed, doubted, and even speaking sarcastically about the promise that Elisha had spoken. And he claimed that such could not happen. It could not happen, even if the Lord opened the floodgates, the levees, the windows of heaven itself. Counting the sarcastic disbelief of the chief official, Elisha had predicted that he would indeed see a promise fulfilled, that he would not personally share in it, and that he would not eat one mouthful of the plentiful food that would soon be provided. About the money. So what can you learn from this? You can learn that in the midst of hopelessness and despair, there is a message of God, the message of hope and deliverance. No matter how hopeless you may feel, how hopeless the situation may seem, there is always hope, and that hope is found in God and in His power to deliver you. Just like this northern kingdom of Israel was facing war, so war and conflict may face you. Starvation may starve you, may confront you. Bankruptcy, financial difficulties, broken relationships, divorce, severe accidents or disease, or even death itself may stare at you in the face. But there's always the message of God, His holy word, the message of hope. There is hope in God and His power to deliver us. Listen, listen carefully to what God's word has to say about the message of His hope and deliverance. Romans chapter 5 verse 6, "For we who are yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for you and me. Now we're made righteous, made holy, made perfect in Him." Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may come over me. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16 says, "In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, so that you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Yeah. Wow, it's powerful, guys. So four questions, application questions, which is great because we get to hear the word of God being spoken by each other and also the live stream. In Jesus' name, amen. What is your first reaction when you face a difficult challenge? I would observe, I would watch. I think I should do that. Should turn to God first. That's the right thing to do. But reactions, negative. How can you remind yourself to look to God for comfort and strength? Through prayer, being thankful constantly, thanking Him always, for He works in great, marvelous ways. In Jesus' name, amen. When have you seen God intervene in powerful ways, in drastic ways? I've seen Him work in powerful ways when I was rock bottom. Not only was I receiving healing, but He was also adding community to me, family to me. So we give glory to God. Amen. And then what can you help? What can help you remain patient and continually trust in His goodness? You know, whenever I think about what God is doing and what He will do, I remember of how He's been faithful in the past. And so, He's faithful yesterday, today, and forevermore. So I trust in Him completely, 100%. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just like this baby, I'm also too tired. So, letter to God. Dear God, thank you for working powerfully, trustworthy. Help me remain patient in difficult times and to look to you for comfort and strength. In your Son's name, amen. Lord God, I pray for everyone here to walk in your ways, to love you, to build their life upon your firm foundation. Father, we cannot do this on our own accord. We need you, more of you. We cannot. So Lord, I commit my life to you, to reading your word every day, to praying to you every day, to building your community every day. Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for never letting us down. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, for your wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment be upon them. Give them rest. Give them rest. We love you, God, because you never let us down. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to sleep soon. Ray. Amen. Glory to God, Natalie. Bird, he's so cute. God bless your family. Thank you. Jotaro, Kujo, Christ is King. Shalom, good to see you. Jose, killing in the name of Jesus. Danielle, good to see you. I love you. Benny, God bless you. Elvis, God bless you in Jesus' name. Bean, 6000, hello, welcome. Yeah, get some rest. I do so. Hey, thank you so much. Tell me more. That's so encouraging. Let's get some rest. So we can listen to the music. I turn it on. Take some time. Let God speak to you. I'll watch you guys. Mr. Snoopy, I like your accent. Thank you. Where are you from? Glory to God. Red Benny. Amen. Unique Black. Amen. Always and forever. Thank you. It's joy. Amen. Are you a dad? Yes. 10 days old, dad. I'm still learning. Hallelujah. Genesis, hello. Hello, Mason. God bless. Travis, hi. God bless you too. Love your baby. Thank you. Glory to God. Beautiful family. And newborn. It's good that he can sleep through this whole thing. Yeah. And then I have to say, hi, Mom. Thanks for watching till the very end. He's happiest. He is a joyful baby. Very peaceful. Able to sit through the Word of God. Oh, thank you. Well, we've been here for 1 hour 7 minutes. I know. God is good. May God bless you, be with you. May He empower you. May He give me rest as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Take care, guys. Panda out for now. Glory to God. See you next time. You said you're just... Oh. Thanks for scrolling into here. Glory to God. That your baby? Yes. I don't think any other mothers would let me hold the baby when I'm live streaming. Stay safe. Rest. This is a journey. It is a journey. Alrighty. Time to sleep. Take care. I did say panda out, but you guys keep talking, so. Prodico, hello, hello there, Evelyn. Aw, thank you. For the heartwarming comments. I see you. You're special. Good night's sleep. Yeah, I'm exhausted. Yesterday, went to the hospital there all day, all night. So tired. But it's like 24-hour stream, man. Crazy. I would love a good night's sleep. He's 10 days old. The day is young. 7:18. Jesus forever. Amen. Glory to God. Rhea, thanks for the hand heart. Glory to God. Keep what you're doing, what you're doing. Pastor Josh Penn, God bless. Luar, thank you. Stay strong, thank you. Let's do this. Alrighty. Giving it a few minutes. God is always good. Thank you. Alrighty. Noah means rest, promise, blessing, peace. Hey, Monica. What just happened? God is here. We have live stream and welcome. We continue building our life upon the firm foundation. What was I in the hospital for? Because my wife had complications. And ER takes forever too. Am I Japanese? No, I'm not. I'm Taiwanese. That's close. Thank you so much. You're so sweet. I see what you did there. Okay, God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Panda out for now.